The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Baba Kama has been generously sponsored in our Daf Yomi program by our good friend and patron and charter member of our Daf Yomi class, Siyahu Ashar HaKohen and his dear wife, Rina. That Be'ezrat Hashem, they will have continued Hatzlacha, Harvaha, Bechol, Ma'aseh, Yedehem, Bri'ut, health, happiness, prosperity, and much nachat from their children. May they enjoy many years of Shalom Bayit, tranquility, and peace of mind. Amen ve'amen. Daf Mem He. Today's Daf is being studied in Nishmat Mor Zekini Yosef Ben Sarah Ve'Marat Zekinati Yafa Ben Sarah Ve'Nishmat Avram Ben Esther Ruach Hashem Tinecham Ve'Gan Eden Amen. Today's Daf is being studied for Hashem on Natan Ben Shulamit Ve'Gam Lefa Hashem Moshe Ben Yira Eden Afan Arim Fata Nefesh Ulfo Da Guf Zuchut HaTzadikim Ve'Gen Ba'adam Ve'at Shelema Afu Akur Abad Abo Ve'Chen Yira Sovan Omar Amen. In today's Daf on Mem Dalid Amud Sheni, and we are starting from the Mishnah, four lines from the bottom. And the Mishnah begins, Shor Shihu Yotze Lisakel. You have a shor, an ox that's going out to be stoned. Can the shor kill somebody? So the deen of the shor is, the gamma shor yisakel. The shor yisakel, the gamma alav yumat. You have to kill the shor. So what happened? Vikdi shor be'alav. So the owners made the shor hekdesh. Eno mukdash. So the deen of the Mishnah is, doesn't work. The Hekdesh is not Hal. It's already omit to be, once already it's Nigmar Dino, for Sekila, it becomes Asur Bahana'a. So it's not in your reshut anymore to make an Hekdesh. Because already it's destined to be stoned. So the Hekdesh is not going to be Hal. Similarly, Shehato, if let's say he slaughtered it at that time, Besaro Asur. So the Basar also is going to be Asur for the same logic. Once already it's omit to be stoned, it's asur b'hana'a, so the shechita is not going to be matir, it's not going to make it edible. Ve'im ad shelo nigmar dino, but if, let's say, before gmar din, before the bitin actually was posik, that the animal is hayav, hikdisho ba'alav, and the owners came along and made it hikdish, mukdash. Oh, so that already is still in his reshut. So therefore the hikdish is considered a hikdish. Again, it's pasul for the mizbeach. Don't think you can bring it as a korban, because bottom line, it was omed for for sekila. However, it doesn't have guf kedushat guf for the mizbeach, but it's kedushat damim the mefarshim. So if you have to make a pidyon on them, which means the kedusha is going to be hal enough that you would need a pidyon. Ve'im shehato, if you slaughtered it before gemar din, besaro mutad. So the basar is going to be permissible. Why? Because once already was nishchat, so therefore you can have gemar din on an animal that's dead. The gemar din has to be on when the animal is alive. So therefore that's it. The meat is kasher. Nothing you can do. Now, of course, the chetahila you cannot make shechita. But b'di'avad, when he made shechita, like the lashon of the Mishnah is b'im shechato is b'di'avad. If he did it, so misaro mutar. Misaro leshomer chinam. If a person, let's say, gave his ox over to a shomer chanam, that's somebody that watches for free, which means he's doing you a favor. He's a shomer chanam. He's watching it for you, but you're not paying him. When the shoel is a borrower. Then the nosei sachar is a shomer sachar. That means you're paying him. You're paying him to watch it. Then the socher, or somebody that rents. I mean, he pays you in order to use the animal. In all these cases, nechnesu tachat ha-be'alim, they take the place of the owners. Which means, if the animal damages and whatever happens, that's it. They're responsible. So the Rashi says, mitchayevim b'nezakim ke-be'alim. They're hayav in damages, just like the owners themselves. Mu'ad mishalem nezek shalem, v'tam mishalem hatsi nezek. The regular rules, mu'ad pays nezek shalem, tam pays hatsi nezek. Now the Gemara begins its analysis, Tanu Rabbanan, we have a braita. Shor shehemit, you have an ox that killed. Ad shelon nigmar dino, so before the gmar din, mecharo, so what? The owner sold the shor to somebody else. So the deen is machur. The sale is considered a legitimate sale, as she says, l'radya, which means the guy is able to use it for plowing, right? Which is the mechira. Since it happened before it was ha'amada bedin, you're still going to have sekila, which means the animal is still going to be judged, but the gaber, the sale that he sold it to him for the work, so the sale is considered a sale, and therefore the kone is able to be horesh the shor, can use it, and the gemara and the mafashim are telling me over here that he doesn't even have to pay. Geez, the sale is a sale, and he doesn't have to pay sechirut to the owner. And then you're going to have obviously. Hamad Abedin, and the animal is going to get killed. Eventually, the animal is going to get sekila, but the sale is considered a sale that he's able to use it for the purpose of plowing. Hikdisho. Oh, let's say he made the animal hikdish. Mukdash. Rashi. We're talking about over here that what? Shor shimit achilo nigmar dino. So the hikdish is going to be hal. Rashi says, what's enough kamina? Good. If somebody is going to use this animal, at that moment over there, the Hekdesh is hal on the animal, and therefore it's considered me'ila. Shechato, if let's say the guy came along and slaughtered it, besaro mutar. Okay, because it's before Gemardin, as we learned earlier, so the basar is going to be mutar. Okay, so that's the dinim all before Gemardin. Let's review. Before Gemardin, the din is what? Mecharo machur. The sale is considered a sale. The hekdesh is considered a hekdesh. Nafkimina fin me'ila. And shechato before Gemardin. So the basar is going to be mutar. Good. Comes the Gemara and says, he haziro shomer lebet be'alav. Here's what gets interesting. Let's say the shomer was watching the animal. The animal killed. And what? The shomer returned the animal back to the owner. Before Gemardin, so it says, muhzar. That's it. He's off the hook. He returned the animal. Aye, but now they're going to take this animal now and stone it to death. Doesn't matter. I returned you the animal. Then the owner can't come along and say, what do you mean? You returned me an animal that's... it's a dead animal now you gave me back. So no, I said, I returned you an animal. That's your problem. However, Mishne Gemardino, but once already you have Gemardin, because the very betim was posik. Hayav sekila on the animal, necharo eno machur, which means already the sale is not considered a sale. Nafka mina, which means you're not allowed to sell it even for harisha. You cannot even sell it for plowing. Why? Because that's subhanah. Once the subhanah, the guy's not allowed to use it. So there's no, you gotta give it back. You cannot use it even for plowing. In the other case, before Gemardin, he was able to plow until it was omet v'sekila. Here, it was omet v'sekila already. Subhanah, there's no plowing. Hikdisho eno mukdash. For the simple reason, it's not yours to make hikdish anymore. Once already it's omet v'sekila, it's a subhanah, so you cannot make an hikdish. Shehato besaro asur. Also the same thing. Basar is a subhanah already. So the shaitan is not going to make the basar kashir. Now the guy decides to return it. The shomer, which means too late. You're returning me back an animal that's dead already. Which means it's omed l'skida, it's a subhanah, you're going to have to pay for this animal. Rabbi Yaakov says a chadush. Even if the Gemardin, it's already the animal is nifsak on it, sekilam. The Rabbi Yaakov said you return it back to the owner, that's it, you're off the hook. Now we have to understand the machloket between the Rabbi Yaakov and the Hakamim. Lema, he's a shomer. Yeah, all the shomerim. When they return it back, if the Gemardin could be Yaakov, you're okay. So the Gemara wants to analyze. Lema, be'akam et palge. Let us say that the Rabbi Yaakov and the Baran are following, are arguing in the following subject. The Rabbanan Savre, the Rabbanan hold, En Omrim Be'isure Hana'ah, Hare Shelecha Lefanecha. Rabbi Yaakov Savar, Omrim Be'isure Hana'ah, Hare Shelecha Lefanecha. We have a rule. Let's say you have something that's Isur Hana'ah. Let's go straight to our case. This animal is Isur Hana'ah. But if you look at the animal looks fine. I mean, the animal itself does not have any blemishes on it, doesn't have any damages on it. The animal itself has a at least an external value to it, even though internally we know the animals are made l'skidam. It's a subana. So there's a big mahloket that we're going to understand now. Hakamim are going to say you can't return the animal because bottom line, the animal doesn't have a value. Even though you're not returning ashes to the guy, you're returning exactly the animal that you took. It just became isur bana. Hakamim say isur hana'a, you're not allowed to return and say, well, I'm going to take it. You know, I'm giving you back. I took an animal. I'm giving you back the animal. According to Yaakov, he says no. Since you're giving back the exact animal that you took, which means the physical animal still has four legs, still has everything. Eilawat, has a isurana on it. That's okay. You're allowed to get yourself away, go get yourself off the hook, just by returning the animal. So it could be that's what Rabbi Yaakov holds. And isurana, I could say, areshilcha, lefaneka, and I'm sorry, it's your problem. So the Gemara says, nafkamina would be, by the way, in another case, just so we can analyze it, would be, let's say, if a guy stole somebody else's hametz. Nice. Which means, before Pesach, guy went, he stole the Hametz. Now we have a law that says, Hametz she'avar alav Pesach, is a subana'ah. Once already the Hametz goes through Pesach, in the ownership of a Jew, already it's going to be a subana'ah. So the Gazlan was a Jew. So what do? He stole the Hametz. Now what does he do? After Pesach, he comes along and says, here you go, here's your Hametz back. Your Hametz back. I can't use this Hametz now, it's a subana'ah. Hametz she'avar alav Pesach. So that would, l'cha'ora, be the same mahlok between the Yaakov and Hakamim. Could you just say, listen, I stole Hametz, it's Hametz. Yeah. But there's some now spiritual Yisur Hana on it, not my problem. I took Hametz, I give back Hametz. So that's the same Machloket. So the Gemara says, Ama Rava. Rava says, no. The Kule Alma Omrim Besure Hana'a Are Shilcha Lefanecha. Really, I'll tell you, Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbanan are not arguing on that. Really, both of them hold, you could always tell the owner, Hadesh Shilcha Lefanecha, even if it's a sunana. You know why? Deimkem Niflog Le'inyan Hametz BePesach. On that case that I just told you about Hametz BePesach, the rabbis don't argue. The rabbis hold that by the Hametz case, you can tell the owner, here's your Hametz back, and see you later. So you see, even the rabbis hold, by Yisur Hana'ah, you're allowed to say, Hadesh Shilcha Lefanecha. So that is not the mahloket between the Yaakov and the Hakamim. So what is the mahloket? El ha'acha, the mahloket is a different mahloket. Begomrim dino shel shor, shelo befanav kamepalgeh. The mahloket over here is, are you able to make a gemar din on a shor, to obligate it, sekila, if it's not in front of us? Does the shor have to appear in bet din? Or could the bet din say, whoever the shor is in the world, hayav sekila? Which, no, bring the shor in front of us. That's the mahloket. Now let's apply it to the case. So the Gemara says, the Rabbanan Savre, the rabbis hold, en gomrim dino shel shor, ela befanav. Oh, for the shor to be hayav sekila, the shor has to appear in betin. It's got to be there. Now, the amar le. So now we're going to start seeing the claims. The claims between the shomer and the owner. Which means the owner now is going to tell the shomer, if you would have returned it to me, I would have had an option. I could have taken the animal and let it run to the marshland over there, and there to the swampland, and therefore it never would have had gone to judgment, and therefore they would never have able to kill the animal, which means you should have returned them. Instead, what did he do over here? He went to Bedin. The Beit Din convicted the animal, and now all of a sudden he gives back the animal to the shomer, to the owner. So the owner can come. Normally, the banan hold, that's good. Normally, you gave it back. What do you want? Like Hametz BePesach, I gave it back. But in this case, he says, hey, you hurt me over here. Because if you wouldn't have went to Beit Din, and you would have given the animal from the beginning, I could have hid the animal. I could have sent the animal to the marshes over there. Beit Din would not be able to rule it because it has to be dafka lefanav, and therefore, by you going to Beit Din now, so you caused me a loss. You caused me a loss to the animal. So Gemara says, Hashta, now the Baal is still talking, the owner is still talking. Hashta, it pastele torai, my ox has been seized, biyadad de lo yachina leshtayuad dina bade. It's, yeah, exactly, it's been taken by a betin that I have no recourse. Once betin has the animal, I'm stuck. I can't say, oh, give it to me back. Too late. I have mitah. So therefore, you're guilty over there. Which means I had options that I would have gotten off. By you now taking it to Beit Din, my animal now is Hayav Sekila, you caused that damage over there. Therefore, you can't just say, oh, here's your animal back. Well, now you're too late. You should have given it to me back before Gemar Din, before the Beit Din got involved, and I would have had options. So comes the Gemara and says, Rabbi Yaakov Savar. Rabbi Yaakov says, Gomri Dino Shil Shor, Shelo Befanav. Rabbi Yaakov says, now, you don't have to have the shor in Beit Din, by the way. Wherever the shor is, Beit Din is able to already put a verdict on it. The Amar Le, so then the shomer can tell the owner, Sof Sof, Migmar Ave Gamre Le Ledina. Regardless whether I gave it to you back or not, Beit Din was able to make a Gemar Din. You're claiming to me, ah, oh, I would have taken the animal, I would have sent it away. And Rabbi Yaakov says, so what? So you sent it away. Beit Din still would have convicted the animal, because you don't have to have it, Lefanav. So that's the Mahlok Din of Yaakov and Rabbanam. Does the short have to appear? So if you say the short has to appear, don't have a good claim. Who asked you to bring it to Beit Din? It wasn't automatic. Give it back to me, and I would have dealt with it. I would have sent it away over there, so the Beit Din can't find it. But now that you sent the Beit Din, so I lost. According to Yaakov, Yaakov says, well, that's not a claim. Give it to you back. And what would you have done? You would have sent it to the marshlands. Beit Din still would have convicted it. Because the still doesn't have to be lefanav. Oh, the Gemara asks, my ta'amad Rabbanam. Now we just got to get the logic. What's the reason why the rabbis hold that the shor has to appear in Beit Din? So they learn it. Has says the pasuk, Hashor yisakel vegam be'alav yumat. The Torah juxtaposes the death of the shor and the owner. Kimitat be'alim kach mitat hashor. Ma be'alim b'fnehem av shor b'fanav. Which is just like to convict a person. If he committed murder, the fellow himself has to stand himself in the court. He has to be there. That she says from the pasuk ad omdo lifnei ha'edah lemishpat. Because we have a pasuk that says he has to stand in the courtroom. So kmitat ba'alim, kach kmitat ashor. So to the shor has got to be in the bedim. Rabbi Yaakov bishtama ba'alim bene ta'ananinu el ashor bar ta'antahu. Which means go after the logic. Why does the murderer, the so-called murderer, have to be in front of Beit Din? Because he could have a claim. He could defend himself. But a shor is going to defend himself in Beit Din? A shor is not a bar ta'ana. So then, what do I care where he is? Not only have two witnesses that claim that the shor killed, so even if he's somewhere else. I mean, there's a logic why the rotseyah appears in Beit Din. Because if he's going to say something, he can open his mouth and talk. He's a bar ta'ana. And therefore, mechpat, even if he's in the swamplands, as long as the witnesses testify that he killed, they were going to kill. So that is the mahloket between Chachamim and Rabbi Yaakov. Comes the Gemara and continues. Okay, now we discuss the subject of the Shomrim. You gave the animal to a shomer, one of the four shomrim. So what is the Mishnah's din? The shomer takes the role of the ba'al. Meaning, if the animal damages or kills, whatever it is, he's on the hook. The shomer is taking the place. Tarabana, we have a bride. Arba'a nichnesu tahat ba'alim. There are four shomrim that take the place of the owner. Ve'eluhin. Shomer hannam, that's a shomer that watches for free. Hashoel, that's a borrower. Nose sachar, that he's getting paid to watch it. We call it a shomer sachar. That's socher. Socher is a renter, right? He's paying in order to use the animal. Haregu tamim. Oh, if let's say they were a tam and they killed, what's the din if a short tam kills? What do you do to the animal? You kill the animal. Neragin ufturim in a kofir. Exactly like the laws. Because kofir is only paid by a muad. So let's review. Harigu tamim hashor neherag ve'en mishalmim et ha kofir. Muadim, Oh, if it's Wa'ad, then already Nehiragin Umishalimim et a kofir. Exactly like the dinim we understood until this point. The Hayavim Le'azir Demeshor Le'Be'alav. Correct. All these Shomrim, except for one, as we'll see, have to now compensate the owner for the Shor. They killed the Shor. You were Shomer. It's under your watch. So now, where's my Shor? Sorry, it's a bit din. They stoned it to death. Well, you didn't watch it? You were Shomer. So therefore, you got to pay the owners for the animal. Chutz. Yeah. Ventam bemuad. Doesn't matter. Bottom line, you can't return a dead animal to somebody. I gave you a live animal. Chutz mishomer hanam. Except when it comes to the shomer hanam, he's off the hook. We have to see exactly what the case is. Why is the shomer hanam different than the other three shomrim? The Gemara analyzes. Amre hechi dambe. Give me the details. Idinatre, if we're talking about where the shomrim, they watched the animal, I mean they watched it properly, and still what? It went out and killed. What do you want from them? Afilu kulehu nameh lifteru. All of them should be peturim. Why? Because we have a general rule, except a borrower. Leave a borrower, because a borrower is the worst. A borrower is chayav even on onus. Even if it's an accident, out of his control, the shoel is in the worst position. But all the other shomrim, if they watched it and still somehow it escaped and killed, that's called an onus. All the shomrim are peturim on onus. So why did you only tell me a shomer hanam? And if it's so about the guy where he was negligent and he didn't watch the animal, then even a shomer hanam should be hayav. He didn't watch the animal. So therefore, what are you being mechalek between a shomer hanam and the other shomrim? So the Gemara says, Amre, I'll tell you the case. Haka b'may askinan. Din natre shemira pechuta. Velon natre shemira me'ula. Okay, so now we're ready. We go into the levels of shemira, which we really never discussed before in depth. A shomer, when it comes to watching an animal and things like this, there's certain degrees of shemira. Shemira pechuta means the minimum shemira, meaning you watch that you put a door in front of it, and the door is able to stand in normal winds. Right? So it's a door that a regular wind is not going to blow the door down. You put the animal behind it. Okay, that's the minimal shemira. Shemira me'ula would be you put it behind a locked door where even ruach she'ena mitzvah, even a gust would come, it's not going to blow down the door. You see, by shemira pechuta, if I say a strong wind comes, the door's going to fall down and the animal's going to go out and kill. So we're talking about a case over here where the guy, in all the four cases, the shomer did shemira pechuta, he did something, but he didn't do shemira me'ula. What's the difference? Gemara goes on. Shomer hinam kalta lo shemirato, which means it's enough for a shomer hinam. He's only chayav if he's a poshaya, if he's negligent. Once already you put a door in front of the animal, albeit it's shemira pechuta, finished. Your shemira ended. You did enough, and therefore you're not going to be chayav. Shomer hinam kalta lo shemira hanach. Lo kalta shemiratam. But the other shomrim, that's not enough. It's not enough just to do a shemira pechuta. They have to do more. Rashi. Vehane lo kalta. Let's read Rashi, the first one. Kalta le shemirato. De'en alav litchazik mishmirato. Listen, he's doing it for free. He's a shomer hinam. Vedai bekach. Velav peshi'ahi. Hilkach legabe ba'alim patur. Which means the animal went out and killed at the end of the day. I'm not going to mechayev the shomer hanam to pay over here, because Bama the shomer hanam did a proper shemira. However, the owners are going to have kapara. Say the animal was a muad in such a case, so they have to pay the kofir. Okay. The hani, but the other shomrim lo kalta shemiratam. Here's the key: shehayavim ayu lethazek b'shemirato, sheyesh shamur lebe'alav u'peshi'ahi. That's already considered a peshi'ah. when you should have done a shemira me'ula, and you only did a shemira pehuta, tahava midid avi agenevav aveda. Similarly, it's like genevav aveda, which means shomer hinam is patur on genevav aveda. If let's say the item got stolen, or they lost it, by shaking the other shomim, they have a higher responsibility. Genevav aveda de hayav. Especially, listen, shomer sachar, I'm paying you. I'm paying you to watch the animal. You can't go, oh, sorry, it got stolen. It got stolen. Yeah, I went to sleep, got stolen. Your problem. Yeah. You got to pay. Similarly, doesn't matter. I'm paying you to watch it now. I'm paying you to watch it. You got to watch it on a higher level. You cannot just get away with it being shemira pehuta. So that's the haluk between shomer hanam and the other shomer. We did it shemira pehuta. So now the Gemara begins its analysis. Amre keman. Oh, this braita, which opinion is it following? Now we're going to be introduced to the different opinions when it comes to shemira by a shor. If it's following Rabbi Meir, the Amar, what did Rabbi Meir say? Socher keshomer chinam dame. Oh, Rabbi Meir later, we're going to see, or actually in the Baba Metziah, much later, he holds a socher, a renter, and a shomer chinam are equal in their responsibilities. Which means, just like a shomer hinnam, it's enough shemira pehuta, so to a renter also, listen, a renter is paying money, so it's like his to a certain degree, so it's enough shemira pehuta. So if you're saying that this braita is like Rabbi Meir, the chaura, the statement of the braita should have said that everybody has to pay, except a shomer hinnam and a socher. Because if you're learning the cases where you made a shemira pehuta, Rabbi Meir holds that a shomer, hinnam, and a socher are equal when it comes to shemira pehuta. So the braita cannot be Rabbi Meir, because it should have said, kulam hayavim chutz meshomer hinnam vesocher. Gemara says, de'ama shomer socher shomer hinnam dame litni. So the braita should say, chutz meshomer hinnam vesocher. It should say both cases. Now the Rabbi Yehuda. Now let's analyze the Yehuda Shita. The Amar Socher Kenose Sachar Dami. He holds that a socher, a renter, is like a shomer sachar, and therefore shemira pehuta is not enough. Therefore, really shemira pehuta is only enough for a shomer hinnam. So therefore, the braita makes sense according to Yehuda the Chaura, because the braita said the guy did a shemira pehuta. All the shomrim are going to be hayavim, including the socher, and the shomer hanam is going to be patur, because it's not us. What's the problem according to the Yehuda? According to him, it should be like this. Nitni, it should say, chutz mishomer hanam. Good, that part's good. Chutz mishomer hanam. V'chulam b'mu'adin peturim le'inyan kofir. Oh. But in all these cases, if the animal is a mu'ad, according to the Bi'uda, there should not be kofir. Why? What does the Bi'uda hold? Rashi. The ikra Bi'uda, hechad de shamro shemira pehuta, amay mishalmim kofir. Ha'amar Bi'uda mu'ad sagile bishmira pehuta. Oh, no hiddush. We're going to see the shita now. The Bi'uda holds, guy has an animal that's a mu'ad. Already, it's a gorer. Gorer has proven itself. You got to watch it. How much is your responsibility to watch a shor mu'ad?
More than normal.
No. The Bi'uda says shemira pehuda is enough, which means even a minimal shemira, you're off the hook. That's a shita. We'll see it from Pesukim. All this is going to be proven from Pesukim. Oh, so what's our story over here? We're talking about a case where a guy had a, let's start with the beginning, right? Shomrim. They watched it, shemira pehuta. So the deen of the mibraita was, all the other shomrim gotta pay. Mashiach and shomer hinnam doesn't have to pay, because shomer hinnam, shemira pehuta, it's enough. But continue the braita. The braita said, but if the animal was a mu'ad, right, the shomer had a mu'ad animal, and the animal killed, so the deen is, you gotta pay kofir. What do you mean? If it's a bi'uda, and you made a shemira pihuta by a mu'ad, it's enough. And therefore the Chaurah, the Braita's language that you have to pay kofir is not accurate. Because shemira pihuta is enough for a mu'ad. By all of them. Yes, every mu'ad, according to the Biyuda, shemira pihuta sagi. Therefore, let's read the Braita again. Braita says, I am a shomer. Adam was a tam. Okay, I'm a shomer, tam. The animal went out and killed. What do you do to the animal? You kill the animal. Oh, am I on the hook? Do I have to compensate the owner? Well, it depends what type of shomer you are. You're a shomer hanam, you're okay. Shomer hanam, shomer pehuta, you're fine. All the other shomerim, listen, shomer pehuta is not enough for you. You got to pay the owner. Very good. If you do that, you're fine. Continue the braita. Oh, but if the animal was a mu'ad, not only do we kill the animal, but now the guy's got to, the shomer's got to pay kofir. That's the rule. What do you mean? According to me, that's not the rule. If the case is to where I made a shemirah pehuta, he holds by every mu'ad. As long as you made a shemirah pehuta, you're off the hook. So then why did the braita say, mishalmim kofir, lechaora, once I made my shemirah, I'm okay. So the braita cannot make sense. Not aliba derbi mi'ir, and not aliba derbi uda. Aliba derbi mi'ir, the braita should have said, chutz mishomer hinam v'asokhir. Because he holds sokhir and shomer hinam follow the same rule. According to the Biyuda, that's not a problem. Because he holds that a sokhir is like a shomer sakhat. So that's not like a shomer hinam. So shomer hinam is good. Problem is the mu'ad side. Why did you tell me if it's mu'ad you pay kofir? If we're talking about a shemirah pehuta, he holds that a mu'ad, shemirah pehuta is enough. Therefore the kal, if it's enough, you don't have to pay kofir. So comes Gemara and says, good questions. My answer is, Amaravuna, Barhinina, Hamani, who's the author of this braita? The B. Eliezer, he. De Amar, En lo shemira, Ela Sakin. Stop right there. Rabbi Eliezer, which we're going to see in the next Mishnah, he says, listen, a mu'ad, there's only one type of shemirah that helps for a mu'ad. Not a shemirah pehuta. Not even a shemirah me'uleh. You know what the only shemirah is going to help a mu'ad? A knife. Meaning, got to kill it. Which means no matter what you do, you hayav. Shor mu'ad is a wild animal. So you can't say, I put a door, I locked it, I put a bolt, I put a piece of wood. Shor mu'ad, that's not considered shemirah. The only shemirah for a shor mu'ad is sakin. You have to kill the animal. Oh. So if that's the case, the Gemara, look at that sheep, please. Fourth line. And even if you did a great shemira, very good. That's why at the end of the Mishnah, the Braita, I said what? Mu'adim mishalmim kofir. Because why? He holds, not only Shemirah Pehuta doesn't work, even Shemirah Me'ula doesn't work. And therefore the Braita is correct in saying, V'chulam imayu mu'adim, V'chulam mishalmim kofir. We thought, if you're going to go like the other Shitav Rabbi Yehuda, why kofir? Shemirah Pehuta is enough. Yeah, that's Rabbi Yehuda. But the Bidi Ezra says, not only is Shemirah Pehuta not enough, even Shemirah Me'ula is not enough. The only thing enough is a sakin. So the Braita makes perfect sense. If they are considered mu'adim, they're going to have to pay kofir. Oh, continue. Ul'inyan demeshor nameh hayavin de'alehen l'shomlam shemira me'ula. Oh, ho'il v'nos'e sachar hen u'benatre shemira me'ula. Finish. Which means, and he also holds in the resha of the Braita, the Braita said what? If you made a shemirah pehuta, the shomer hinam is patur. You know why? Because he holds that a socher is like a noseh sachar. So therefore, only the shomer hinam will be patur. because shemira pe'ota is enough for a shomer chinam, but legabe a socher, a renter, you need a shemira me'ule, like a shomer sachar, and you didn't do it, therefore you're going to be hayav. So the braita, you read the gemara, ulenyan socher, savala k'rebi yehuda damar socher k'nose sachar dame. Let's talk outside now. That means if I'm learning this braita now, first of all, I have an author to the braita. The author of my braita is called Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, now I start reading the braita again. My braita says, I got a shomer. I got one of the four shomerim. Very nice. They took an ox. They're watching the ox. What happened? The Gemara already told me. I made a shemira pechuta. Minimal shemira. It was a tam. It went out and killed somebody. What's the deen? Shomer is responsible. Except for a shomer hanam. Why? Because shemir hanam, shemir ha-pechotah is enough. Yes, I'm doing you a favor, by the way. I'm doing you a favor. So what do you want from me? Shemir ha-pechotah is enough. Oh, what about a socher? No, socher, shemir sachar, shoel for sure. All those are going to be hayat. Because the media as it holds that shemir hanam stands alone, and the socher, the sachar, all those are in a different category. Beautiful. I continue the braita, please. The braita then tells me, oh, you should know, but if it's mu'ad, oh, mu'ad is kofir. Got to pay kofir over here. Animal killed, mu'ad. Oh, but wait, I made a shemira pechuta. So what? You know what? I'm going to be the ezer. I don't even care if you made a shemira me'ole, by the way. Because I hold the only shemira you can make from mu'ad is what? Sakin. So therefore, in echename, im haya mu'ad, lo chpatni ala shemira she'asita, ela what? You're going to be hayav, because that's the deen. Beautiful. So the braita works perfectly, alibad, rabbi Eliezer. That's one way of answering the braita. But I'll give you another way. The Gemara says, "Abaye Amar Le'olam K'Rabbi Meir." Oh, problem. Because the problem with Rabbi Meir was, why did you tell me that if you did a shemira pechuta, the shomer hanam is patur? I don't have a problem with that, but you also hold that a renter is like a shomer hanam. So seemingly, it should have said shomer hanam v'socher. So he says, "Ah, kuchde mahalif." Rabba Bar Abu. Rabba Bar Abu switched the shitot of Rabbi Meir around to say what? Vitani socher ketzad mishalem. How does a renter pay? What's his responsibility? Rabbi Meir omer keshomer sakar. Ah, so put this, you learned Rabbi Meir wrong. Switch the shita around. So therefore, if you put the socher like a shomer sachar, now I know why. It only said shomer chanam. Rabbi Yehuda omer keshomer chanam. Good. So therefore, if you switch the bimeir around, you have no problem in the resha of the braita. Amar Rabbi Elazar. Okay, new point. Masar shorol leshomer chanam. Okay, you gave the shor, no problem, to a shomer chanam. Hizik. Hayaf. Okay, they die. The animal went out and damaged. Obviously, we're talking about with the shomer did not shomer correctly. Even a shemira pechuta, because if you did shemira pechuta, he's off the hook. So if they die, I can come along and say, you got to pay the damage. You're the shomer. But here's the chiddush: huzak patur. If the animal got damaged, the shomer is patur. That is a strange case. If you're a shomer, you got to be a shomer both ways. How can you split over here and say, well, if the animal damaged, hey, you're a shomer, you have to pay. Oh, but if it got damaged, oh, sorry. What do you mean? You got to watch it both ways. So the Gemara says, Amre echi damir. What's the case? Idikabil ale shemirat nezakav. If the shomer accepted upon himself shemira, I'm going to watch this animal. Afilu huzak namer lechayev. Even if it got damaged, he should be hayav. V'idelok kabil ale shemirat nezakav. And if he didn't accept shemira, afilu hezik namer lipater. Even if it damages, you be patur. Which means it's got to be over here, all or nothing. Which means if he accepted upon himself shemira, both ways, damaged and get damaged. If you didn't accept upon yourself shemira, not this way and not that way. Amar Rava le'olam shekibel alav shemirat nezakav. Really, when he took the animal, he said, you know what, I'm responsible. But what's the case talking about? Kegon shekirbo shehu naghan. When he got the animal, the shomer already realized and knew this is a wild animal. V'stamad demilta delo azil ihu umazik aharini kabil ale. Which means, mistama, you could assume, since he knew it was a wild animal, and he said, I'm going to watch it, meaning I'm going to watch it to make sure that it doesn't damage others. However, de'ate aharini umazkele dide, but that others are going to come damage it, lo asika date, he never thought it's possible. They're scared of it. It's a wild animal. So therefore, it's possible that he accepted shemirah lahatsa'in. You know, listen, wild animal, listen, I know my responsibilities. I got to be careful if the animal doesn't damage anybody. If it does, I'm going to have to pay. But it didn't enter my mind, such a scary wild animal, that another animal's going to come and damage it. I didn't accept that. I didn't even think it's going to happen. Oh, so therefore, if it does happen, he's going to be patur, because indeed he did not accept that level of shemirah. Comes the next Mishnah. Kisharo be'alav be'mosira. What is that? See, that's the reins, the afsar. The owners tied up the animal, the short, with the afsar, by the reins. V'na'al b'fanav kara'ui. And you made a proper shemirah, you put a door in front of it. That she says, hainu shemirah pehuta. That's a delet, a door that's able to stand on normal winds. V'yatsa v'hizik. And the animal went out and damaged. Ehad tam, ehad muad chayav devrei Rabbi Meir. Okay, now we're getting into the nitty gritty of shemirah. The Rabbi Meir holds whether your animal's a tam, whether your animal's a muad. All you need is minimal shemirah pechuta, which is really a hadush. Mm-hmm. Okay, tam is not such by a muad. Right, the animal proved itself already. I was shomer. Listen, doesn't say you have to take the animal, put it into a vault, and lock the doors and all that. I tied it up with the reins. I put a door in front of it. I went out and damaged. Patur. Get this shitot clear. Shitat bi meir ben tam b'muad sagi b'shmira peruta. Rabbi Yehuda omer, tam hayav u'muad patur. Interesting. Rabbi Yehuda shita. Rabbi Yehuda omer. Tam hayav, that when it comes to a shemirah pehuta, tam the hayavan. Only make sure, which is a tam, you need a shemirah meule umuad patur. But legabe muad, shemirah pehuta is enough. Shene emar velo yishmerenu be'alav. By a muad, what does the Torah say? And he didn't watch it. Veshamuru, he did watch it. So go with the pasuk. Pasuk says, "Ve'u'ad be'va'ala ve'lo yishmerenu." Ani shamarti. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda is big hadush. Rabbi Yehuda says, when it comes to a tam by shemirah pechuta is not enough. Which is a tam needs shemirah me'ule, and mu'ad it's enough to have a shemirah pechuta. Got the second shita? Let's review the shitot. Rabbi Meir ben tam ben mu'ad shemirah pechuta. Rabbi Yehuda, Had tam ve'had mu'ad shemira me'ula. I correct myself. Ben tam ben mu'ad chayav v'shemira pechuta. Kote b'meir, you need shemira me'ule for a tam and a mu'ad. That's absolutely correct. You need a good shemira for both. Rabbi Yehuda makes a chiluk. What's Rabbi Yehuda's chiluk? Rabbi Yehuda says, "Tam, you need shemira me'ule. Mu'ad is enough for shemira pechuta." Good. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, "Ein lo shemira ela besakin." Like we saw, he says, "No. When it comes to a mu'ad, the only way you could watch the mu'ad is with a knife. Meaning, you have to kill it." Rashi. Let's read Rashi. Ela besakin. Va'afilu shamro shemira me'ule. Even if you put a strong shemira, ve'pil kotel, and he knocked down the wall, ve'yatza hayav, ve'shalosh machloket medavar. Beautiful. She summarizes the sugya. Le'rabbi Meir b'shemira pechuta hayav u'be'ula patur. by a mu'ad. Right? Which is by mu'ad comes that you have three machlokets. By mu'ad, according to the Rabbi Meir, you need shemira me'ule. According to the Rabbi Yehuda, by mu'ad, shemira pechuta. And according to the Rabbi Eliezer, sakin. Good. Now the Gemara begins its analysis. Where did they get this shitot from? Where do you get this shitot from? So Gemara starts. My ta'ama de Rabbi Meir. What's the logic of Rabbi Meir? Why Rabbi Meir holds everybody needs shemira me'uleh. Shemira pe'uta, not enough. Not for a tam, not for a mu'ad. Where do you get this from? Gemara says, kasabar, starting point. Stam shevarim lat be'chazkat shimur kaimeh. Which means, Bashi, in Adam Mishamir Shoro Klal, Elo Manicho Viyotze. Okay, general practice. People don't watch the Shevarim. Generally speaking, without before the Torah is coming along and telling you what you have to do, the general nature of people is they don't watch. They roam, exactly, no one's watching the Shevarim, to have them going around doing whatever they want. That's the Stam default setting of people that have Shevarim, that what? Stam shevarim lab be'azkat shimur kaime. That's the aleph. Oh, now the Torah jumps in with a law. Ve'amar rahmana. Now the Torah comes along and says, tam nehayiv. Oh, that if your animal gores, tam, kills, mihayav. Dinev'e le shemira pechuta. Which means what? You gotta do the minimum. Because already our starting point is you're doing nothing. So when the Torah says you hayav, that's because you didn't do the minimum. What's the minimum? Well, one grade up from nothing. One grade up from nothing is what? Shemira pechuta. So therefore again, my starting point is stam sure nobody watches nothing. Torah says, oh, you know something? If you sure went out and killed somebody or damaged somebody, you're going to be hayav. Oh, that must be because I didn't watch it. Now, what's the watching, obviously, that the Torah is demanding? Minimal watching. Because I'm starting off with nothing. So therefore, the Torah says I'm hayab must be because I didn't make a shemira pechuta. Hadar amar rahmana velo yishmerenu gabe mu'ad. When it came to mu'ad, the Torah says velo yishmerenu. Mashma, that it has to be a bigger shemira than a tam. Because already by the time now I have Shemira Pechuta. I'm at that level of Shemira Pechuta. And now what? The Torah says, Mu'ad you hayav because you didn't watch it. I mean, I watched Shemira Pechuta. Oh, Ela must be by Mu'ad when it says V'lo Yishmeredu. It means you need a Shemira Me'ule. Then if I learn Shemira Me'ule. Oh, once already by Mu'ad I'm learning Shemira Me'ule. I go back to the time now. V'yalif negiha letam negiha lemu'ad. I make a gezerah shava. Negiha, negiha, just like by mu'ad you need me'ule, so to my time you need me'ule. That's the bimir. You got the bimir, let's review the bimir outside. Stam animal, zero. Nobody watches animals, that's the derich. Torah comes along and says, okay, by the way, if your animal is a tam and it damages, you got to pay. Because you didn't do a shemira. Is it shemira? Pechuta. Okay, I'm up to pechuta. Now it says what? If the animal is a mu'ad, velo yishmerenu, what do you mean? Shamarti, pechuta. Oh, must be lo yishmerenu means? Me'ula. Oh, once you tell me mu'ad's me'ula, tam also is me'ula. That's it. So therefore both need shemira me'ule, and if without a shemira me'ule, you have nothing. There you hayav. That's shittat? Rabbi Meir. That's going to be Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda Sava, two lines before they get wide. Setam shevarim bechizkat shimur kaime. Oh, he holds no. Stam shevarim, people watch their shores. People don't let their shores just roam around like that. And therefore what? Shemira pechuta. That's the starting point. So your starting point is shemira pechuta. Amar rachmana tam nishalim. Oh, then Torah says what? Tam's got to pay. Why I have to pay? This shemira pechuta. Oh, ela must be dinev'ele shemira me'uleh. Because must be a tam needs a higher shemira than what I'm doing. That's why I have to pay. So tamni shemira meole hadar amar rachmana velo yishmerenu gebe muad. We velo yishmerenu. I'm already at shemira meole. What can I do more? Ah, dena avid le shemira meole. But I'm doing a shemira meole already. Havi ribui achar ribui. The en ribui achar ribui ela lemaet. We have a rule. A positive and a positive, a double positive, makes a negative. Meaning, you ready? I'm holding by Shemira Me'ule. By the time. Let's review. Tam, I do watch my shor. I do Shemira Me'ule. So that's, by the way, your tam dab, you have to pay. Almost because I need to do a Shemira Me'ule. Okay, but I'm holding my Shemira Me'ule. Then what does it say? And if you mu'ad damages, velo yishmerenu. Let's win or what? You didn't do Shemira Me'ule. I know Shemira Me'ule already. I'm holding by Shemira. Oh, so you're including something that I know already. That's called the Ribui. Aha Ribui. Kevar Ribiti. I was Marbe Shemira Me'ule. What do you have to be Marbe the second time? You know how that works? Ribui Aha Ribui Lema'et. It comes to do less. To tell me what? Mi'eta Katuv Lishmira Me'ule. To come and tell me by a Mu'ad Shemira Pe'ota is enough. So look at the Dirajah. The Dirajah says, Tam you need Shemira Me'ule. Once it's a Mu'ad, even Shemira Pe'uta is enough. V'chite, let's just finish the point. V'chite ma Nigiha le Tam, Nigiha le Mu'ad. Oh, what do you mean? Why don't you start with the same Gezira Shavah now? And say, once I proved to you by a Mu'ad that you need Shemira Pe'uta, go back and say, by a tam also you need a shemira pehuta. Nigiha, nigiha. Right, go down, just like the Bimihir did it. Connected the two. Connected also. Hami et rachamana, velo yishmerenu leze, velo lahir. No, when it says velo yishmerenu, it means this one. Dafka a muad, and not a tam. So you cannot go back and forth. Gemara says, ve'am b'v'ele lelav. No, velo yishmerenu is not coming to. You need velo yishmerenu to teach me the law of a mu'ad. You need it for itself. So therefore, you cannot mima'et velo yishmerenu and teach me only a mu'ad. Velo yishmerenu, you need it for itself to teach me. There's a tam case, and there's velo yishmerenu in a mu'ad case. But once already you teach me the mu'ad case, now go back. Give us imken nichtov erma velo yishmor. If the Torah just wanted to teach me the mu'ad case, it could have said the word velo yishmor. My velo yishmerenu. The extra nu leze velo laher, only mu'ad and not that. So the comes from you to be Yehuda. Yehuda says, you know what? Stam animals, how do they start off? With a shemira pechuta. People watch their animals. Torah says, by the way, if a tam damages hayav, why am I hayav? I had a shemira pechuta. Oh, because you got to do more. So tam shemira me'ode. Beautiful. Wow. Then what does it say? Mu'ad velo yishmerenu. Mazu yishmerenu. Kevash ani shomer. Oh, ribuy achar ribuy mema'et. So mu'ad. Shemira Pechuta. Oh, Shemira Pechuta. Now learn it back. Nigiha, Nigiha, make a Gezira Shemata Tamitam. No, Velo Yishmerenu. This one is Shemira Pechuta, but this one is Shemira Me'ula. That's the Shita. Gemara continues. As a stop, so we saw Sevara on this now. The Sevara could be that when it's a time where you don't know what the animal is, and nobody knows what the animal status is, once the animal already was mu'ad, meaning Beddin established it as a mu'ad, so kanir'eh, there's a call. People are aware of the wildness of the animal, so then already it's enough for the owner to make a shemina pechuta, because the people already themselves will be on guard to protect themselves from such an animal. Tanya Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, Echad Tam, Ve'echad Mu'ad Sheshamru Shemina Pechuta, Patur. Oh, that's a new shita. The Bidiaizim ben Yaakov holds Shemina Pechuta across the board. Ben Tam, Ben Mu'ad, Patur. Haitama, what's the logic? Well, Savar Lak Rabbi Yehuda Damar Mu'ad Bishmira Pechuta Sagideh V'yalif Negiha Letam V'negiha Lemu'ad. So he takes the best of both worlds. He also going to be Yehuda that a Mu'ad is enough with Shemina Pechuta. Once he says Mu'ad Shemina Pechuta, he makes the Gezerah Shemina Negiha Negiha Mu'ad to Tam, and therefore Tam also Shemina Pechuta is enough. The Gemara continues Amar Rav Adabar Ahaba. Bikhandush now. Lo patar biyuda elasad ha'ada ashebo. Aval sad tamut bimkoma omedet. Which means, even though I told you that by a mu'ad, shemira pehuta is enough, correct. That means you don't have to pay nizik shalim if you made a shemira pehuta by a mu'ad. But the tam remains in place. You'll still have to pay hatsi nizik like a tam. Which means, what's the deen according to the biyuda by a tam? You need a shemira me'ulit by tam. Now what is mu'ad's disadvantage? You got to pay nizik shalim. So all the biyuda meant to say is that if you did a shemira pehuta, you won't have to pay full nizik, but your hetzi nizik stays where it is. Sad tamut b'mkoma omedet, and therefore with shemira pehuta, you're going to have to pay hetzi nizik for the tam, which you'd have to pay anyway if it was a tam. All we were discussing shemira pehuta is protect you from the other hetzi, from the mu'ad hef, but the sad tamut b'mkoma omedet, that's already stays in place. Amar Rav. Now Rav says a hadush. Mu'ad le keren yamin, enu mu'ad le keren simul. The sword has two horns. So it's a mu'ad that it gores with the right horn. Right? But for the left horn, it's not a mu'ad. So the hadush of Rav is, you can be a mu'ad for the right horn, and you're a tam for the left horn. Now, we got to know that, Rav, for what purpose are you telling me this? Let's give me nefka minot. Obviously, you're not coming to tell me the stuff that what? Right horn nezik shalem, left horn hatsi nezik. Because you've told me that so many times already, that tam is hatsi and mu'ad is nezik shalem. Obviously, Rav must have been coming to tell me another type of hiddush, probably legabeh shemira of the right horn and legabeh the left horn. So the Gemara is going to analyze Rav. What was the purpose of telling me this right left horn business over here? So the Gemara says, Amre alibad deman. Okay, Rav, for sure, your point was having to do with shemira. That I'm accepting. Because you're not telling me payments. I know hatam is hatsi and mu'ad nezik shalem. Which rabbi? I have a couple of rabbis. I got to be Yehuda, I got to be Meir, I got to be Eliezer ben Yaakov, I got three shitot over here. Who are you telling me? E aliba de Rabbi Meir. If you're coming to tell me Rabbi Meir, where's Rabbi Meir Shita? Both need Shemira Me'ule. Tam and Mu'ad. That's Rabbi Meir, correct? Ha amar echad tam ve'echad mu'ad shemira me'ule ba'eh. And therefore what? Look at Rashi, please. Aliba deman. See Rashi, aliba deman? Kelomar. Avadai le'anyan tashlumin lo etzterich le'lerav la'ashmi'inam de'lema nezik shalem ve'lesmol shelo hu'ad la'am yishlem hatzi nezik. Taki agav natuva tenan. We know this already 100 times. Nezik shalem, hatsi nezik. Rav is not coming to tell me that. Tafidu mu'ad le'adam, in mu'ad le'behema. Which is, didn't we learn, if an animal is mu'ad for killing a person, or damaging a person, he's not mu'ad for a behema. Certainly, if he's a right,
a righty,
certainly a righty doesn't make him mu'ad for a lefty. That is special. I don't need that to teach. Because mu'ad le'kenen yamin shusad hazakah shebo, the right side is the stronger side. Certainly does not make him mu'ad for the weaker side. I don't need that for that. Right? Eno mu'ad the small, ela badai rav lenyan shemira ashmi'inan. Ah, ela rav's hadush must have been lenyan, the shemira of the animal. Now we start. Vi alibad ribi mi'ir, ha tamu mu'ad lenyan shemira ki hadadininu. Which means, what do I care? If it's lenyan shemira, there's no difference between tam and mu'ad. So you tell me, oh, the right side is mu'ad. And therefore what? Shemira me'ole. The left side, tam. Gam ke shemira me'ole. So if you're telling me your hadush is shemira, kotebi me'ir, there's no hadush. There's no chinuk ben yamin lismol. Because both need shemira me'ole kotem. Ben tam ben mu'ad. So that's not the hadush. Ali badr bi me'ir. You know, Gemara continues. I ali badr bi Yehuda. Let's go. Rabbi Yehuda said what? Tam shemira me'ole mu'ad. Shemira pehuta, and he told me that in the mu'ad side that we said you need that the shemira pehuta is enough, That's only to poter you from the mu'ad, but said tamut b'mkomach omedet. If that's the case, may iriya kirin simol afilu b'yamin nameh it petzad tamut v'it petzad mu'adut. You didn't got to go to the left side. You could have stayed in the right side, and you could have told me that what? If he was a mu'ad for the right, meaning it's half right. If you were mu'ad for the right, meaning you made a shemitah pechutan the right. Now already in the right, already I have tam and mu'ad. You didn't got to go to the left side to teach me a tam case. Because in the right side itself, Alibad Rabbi Yehuda, all it's telling me is shemitah pechutan protects me from the nezik shalem. But said tamut b'mkoma omed, I'll have to pay the hatzi nezik. Which means you could have told me everything in the right horn. You didn't got to. Obviously, the author of the Braita wanted to teach me a tam side, so it jumped to the left horn. Alibadu, you got to go to the left horn. Already in the right horn, in the keren yamin, already you have said tamut b'mkoma omed. Understand? So comes the Gemara and says, Amne le'olam k'Rabbi Yehuda. Yeah, this Braita, by the way, is going like Rabbi Yehuda. Well, actually, if I said a Braita, that's really Rav. Rav's statement is going like Rabbi Yehuda. But what? Velosvira le de Ravadaba Rava. But he doesn't hold of Ravadaba Rava's explanation of Sad Tamut b'mkoma omedet. And therefore he holds, when we say a mu'ad is patur, if he did shemira patur legamri, you pay zero. Oh, so then the only way you can get to give me a situation of a time, you got to jump to the left horn. Because in the right horn, there is no tzad tamut. V'achi kamar, ki ay gav nahud de meshkachat bet tzad tamut umoedet. The only case where you'll have a tam and a mu'ad is on two horns. But on the same horn itself, according to Rav, he understands that what? When mu'ad is patur, alim adribi udat, it's patur legamri, there's no tzad tamut. Very good. Comes the Gemara and says, aval mu'ad legamre. Like this case over here, where the right horn is a total mu'ad. No mashkaad betzad tamut kelal. And therefore what? On the right horn, which is a mu'ad, shemina pechuta, zero. Oh, but you should know the left horn is going to be considered a tam. And therefore you need, according to Rabbi Yehuda, shemina me'una. Oh, that's chadush in the shemira. Well, you got to go to the left horn. Because the shita is holding on the right horn, there's no tamut. He doesn't hold the sad tamut b'mkoma omedet. Good. Continue the Gemara. Rabbi Eliezer omit en lo shemina el asakin. Okay, we learned that already in the Mishnah. The only way to watch an animal that's mu'ad, she'ita. Amar Abba, maitamad Rabbi Eliezer. What's the logic? De amar kera pasuk. Velo yishmerenu. Pasuk says, you have a shur mu'ad and you didn't watch it. So you know why? You know the way he learns this. Velo yishmerenu, shuv en lo shemira leze. Right, there is no watching. Velo yishmerenu, as if to say, you can't watch it. So the Gemara says, oh yeah, that's the way we're going to doresh these words. Velo yishmerenu. I'm going to show you another similar terminology, and you're not going to be able to explain it like this. You're going to have a problem. My bor, amale abaye elameata dichtiv. Velo yichasenu. Guy has a bor. He dug a bore. What does the Torah say? Velo yichasenu. We understood he didn't cover it. But according to the way you're going to learn now, doesn't matter if you covered it. You can't cover it. Mashma, even if you covered it, you're still hayav on the bore. That's the way you're learning by the sword. Velo yishmerenu, meaning you can't watch it. Meaning even if you watch it, you're hayav. So are you going to say the same thing by bore? Guy dug a bore. What does the Torah say? Velo yichasenu. Simple pshat, he didn't cover it. That's why it's hayab. But now the way you're learning, velo yichasenu sounds like it's not coverable. Even if you cover it, you're going to be hayab. Is that so? Name shuv en lo kisui laze? Does that what it mean? Once you dig a bore, now already you're over? Even if you covered it in the animal fell in, you're going to be hayab? Maybe you're going to tell me, yeah, that's the law. Can't be. Vatenan kisau karaui. If you covered the board properly, patur. So therefore, just like you can't explain velo yichasenu that it's not coverable, you can't explain velo yishmerenu that it's not watchable. So why does he say en shemira ela besakim? Ela amar abaye anu ta'ama ta'amed Rabbi Eliezer kedetanya ebraita. Rabbi Natan omer, minayin shelo yigdal yigadel adam kelev ra betoch beto. How do we know that a person should not raise a wild dog in his house? Yeah. For that matter, a person should not have a shaky ladder in his house. Somebody's going to go into the house, not know, climb on the ladder, the rungs are going to be loose, but manan, it could be sakana. How do you know that you're not allowed to have dangerous things in your house? Shne'emar, ve'lo tasim damim bebetecha. The Torah clearly tells us, you're not allowed to put a stumbling block in your house that can cause, chas v'shalom, damim. That can cause somebody to fall or get hurt, and therefore shed his blood. Similarly, when it says velo yishmerenu in the pasuk, it means do not keep the animal in the world. Why? Because the Torah says velo tasim damim bebetecha. So when the Torah says velo yishmerenu means, it's another way of saying here, you have an animal that's muad, don't keep it. Velo yishmerenu. What should I do with it? Get rid of it. Why? You know why? For the same reason that we don't want you to have a wild dog in your house, and for the same reason why we don't want you to keep a shaky ladder in your house, we don't want a guy to keep a wild animal in his flock, because it's dangerous to the sibur. And that's what it says, ve'lo yishmenenu, meaning it's a directive. Lo yishmenenu, do not keep the animal. Get rid of it. Adran alach, shosh nagah, arba'a, v'hamisha.